"You should be ashamed of yourself" is one of the most painfully provocative phrases of our language. For these words not only accuse someone of performing an action for which they are guilty, but also alert that consequences should be suffered, a judgment which has the potential to ostracize a person from a community. It is one thing to provoke guilt in a person, it is something else to engender shame. And this shaming appears to be one of the intentions of the Pharisees and the scribes in today's gospel. But these enemies of Jesus are provoking something more than just shaming the adulterous woman. For they are really out to accuse, attack, and shame Jesus. Let's explore this dramatic Lenten scene further, shall we? First of all, let us place this gospel as an act within the context of Lent's previous acts, namely the previous four Sunday gospels. In Lent's opening act, we imagine scenes last month of Jesus' temptation in the desert. Then, the next Sunday, his transfiguration on Mount Tabor. And then, we heard about his use of a fig tree to speak of potential not being realized. And last week, in Act 4, we heard Jesus tell the story of the prodigal son. Today's Act 5, we hear of the adulterous woman. The fifth act has, if you will, three scenes. Act 1, Act 5, Scene 1. We see Jesus, after a night of prayer, walking from the Mount of Olives into the temple area. A walk which foreshadows the future scene of Jesus praying in the Mount of Olives before he is arrested. 3 years ago, 15 parishioners and I from Holy Trinity on our Holy Land pilgrimage made a similar half-mile walk. And we know that such a walk requires both a rocky descent and a rigorous ascent. Imagine yourself walking down N Street, down to Wisconsin. That's about the difference between the Mount of Olives and the halfway to the temple. And then go all the way up to 28th Street and you get a sense of the descent and the ascent that Jesus made. Today's Gospel from John, this journey of Jesus suggests that Jesus is descending and ascending into trouble. As by going into the temple area, he's exposing himself again to attacks and the manipulation of his enemies. And this is what exactly happened in Act 5, Scene 2. As his enemies sought to entrap Jesus by presenting the case of the adulterous woman. In so many words, they were using the woman to get to Jesus. It was similar to the entrapping question they put to Jesus about paying taxes to Caesar. They're out to get him one way or the other. In this scene, if Jesus judges that the woman should be stoned, he would suffer the wrath of the Romans, who forbade the Jews permission to execute. If Jesus tells them to free her, then he can be accused of breaking the law of Moses. In other words, Jesus would be damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. This represents a preview of the sixth act of Lent, which we'll hear next Sunday, of Jesus being arrested, accused, and finally crucified. But in today's scene, Jesus' hours had not yet come. He does not fall into the trap, and he outwits his enemies by doing what surprises them. He writes. It is the only time in the Gospels that we find Jesus writing, and it's not on paper or papyrus, but on the earth, on the soil, to address the soiled souls of the woman's accusers. Jesus writes not once, but twice. And what he writes provokes his enemies about their own guilt, and in effect, shames them as they walk away one by one. So rather than shame the woman, Jesus shames his enemies. And it's, if you will, Jesus is introducing something new, a new way of looking at humanity, a fallen in humanity, and especially a care for women. Every time in John's Gospel, Jesus uses the word woman, something dramatic happens. Woman, my hour has not come, he says to his mother, Akena, to this woman, to the woman at the well. And the woman, he uses that word at the resurrection when he says to Mary Magdalene, woman, who are you looking for? This too has a dramatic punch in John's Gospel, alerting us there's something else is going on in this drama. So Jesus sets up the third scene of Act 5. He talks with the woman and does so in such a way that calms her, forgives her, instructs her. He does not shame her. So ends Act 5. Like any drama, the five acts of Lent are designed to provoke something within us, not just out there. Pathos is being offered, something internal in our own psyche, a lesson, an insight into our own humanity. And so, first Sunday of Lent, Act 1, we're offered the insight of how to avoid the temptations of pride, power, and possession, as Jesus did in the desert. In Act 2, we're invited into a sense of awe and wonder towards Jesus, like the disciples experienced at the Transfiguration. In Act 3, we learn that the fig tree, what happens if a potential of faith which God gives us is not developed? It dies. And then last week, we were offered insights of God's embracing and eternal love for our prodigal human nature. This forgiving nature of God is further reinforced today with the adulterous woman, and will be further expanded in the sixth act, when Jesus, who suffered the seeming shame of the crucifixion outside the walls of the community of Jerusalem, utters the profound and provocative words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so, my brothers and sisters, on this fifth Sunday of Lent, we might ask ourselves, what do we learn from the acts and the scenes of our Lenten drama? As we experience once again, are there insights, behaviors, attitudes which are helping our faith in Jesus Christ to hope clearly and love more dearly? Later this morning, I and my fellow Jesuits will have the honor of hearing confessions of the seventh grade religious education students. The third graders have been instructed. We heard their confessions a few weeks ago, and they're learning about the sacrament of reconciliation, the power of forgiveness and freedom that the sacrament offers all of us. And so on Wednesday evening of this week at 7 o'clock, we will have our parish penitential service, a time when we each in our own way can seek freedom more deeply and have a sense of God's powering calm from anxieties and stress in our own life through God's forgiving nature. As always, it is a privilege to listen to penitents of whatever age. In so many ways, the challenge to admit one's guilt is meant to comfort and calm and free us, to give us freedom. And unlike Jesus' accusers, it is not meant to shame, but to offer. Offer what Jesus does from the cross. He endured the cross, providing us the invitation of believing that no matter what actions we commit, or what sins of omission or commission we may be guilty of, God is not meant to shame us, but to help us, heal us. The grace and the power of confession is what begins in our faith. A provocative phrase, not to shame, but the provocative phrase that says, bless me, for I have sinned.